To this place we come bringing our boldest dreams, seeking here the inspiration and the strength to make them a reality. To this place we come carrying our broken dreams too, to be sustained and held tenderly through times of struggle and pain, and perhaps in time to glimpse a new way onward. We come here lonely, isolated from meaningful human contact, searching for warmth and closeness and care. Needing to grow beyond the commonplace, we may seek here challenges and commitments productive of greater wholeness and deeper meanings. We come intense and constructed, cautious and defended, hoping for encouragement to shed our masks and show our true selves. Wrestling with self-doubt and uncertainty, maybe even despair, we seek affirmations prodding us to say yes to ourselves and to life. Somehow we, all of us, enter this place trusting that what happens here will enable us to co-create and to let in a little taste of life's goodness here and now. So good morning everyone, and welcome to Essex Church. Welcome to this gathering of spiritual and religious seekers drawn here from near and far, some here in person, some listening in on the podcast all over the world later on. All of us together forming this beloved community known as Kensington Unitarians. Thank you for choosing to be here on this sultry summer's day, for making the journey on what is a tricky day for London transport, and for making this spiritual community a priority in your life. Our presence and intention is a gift. It does us good to be together. If you're here for the first time today, a special welcome to you. I hope you find something in the service which speaks to your condition. Please stay for tea and biscuits afterwards if you can. And if you're a regular here, thank you for all you do to hold the door open, both literally and metaphorically, welcoming all those who cross the threshold of this church. Every single one of us plays a part in co-creating this sacred space, this space for comfort and challenge, this space for connection with that which is both within and beyond us. So whoever you are, however you are, whatever state you woke up in this morning, you are welcome here. Let's bring our whole selves to this hour together. And let's light our chalice now, as we do each week, and as fellow Unitarians do in churches up and down the country, and Unitarian Universalists in churches all over the world. This simple ritual connects us in solidarity with progressive people of faith the world over, and reminds us of the proud and historic religious tradition of which we are a part. In this free church, we come together without prescribed creed, focusing instead on shared values of justice, equity, and compassion, of mutual acceptance of our diverse ways of being as we seek to connect ourselves more fully with the unfolding truths of life and the world. We come together in shared conviction that all people deserve a meaningful voice in matters that concern them, and that it's up to each of us to protect the rights of all, particularly those who, for whatever reason, have long been oppressed and held down. We come together in the stubborn belief that a just and peaceful world is possible, and that true human community is more than just a dream. We come together to affirm in actions as well as words the inherent worth and dignity of every human being. And we come together in awareness too of our interdependence with all beings, with the wider web of existence, all creatures, all things that live. So we light this chalice today as a beacon of hope for all who have gathered here today, all who have ever walked through our doors, for those who may yet find this spiritual home, and for those whose paths will never come this way. For this, and for all those things we dare to hope and dream, we light this chalice flame today. Let's take those joys and concerns into an extended time of prayer and reflection now. Let's take a moment to get ourselves into the right state of body and mind to pray together, to be fully present in this sacred time and space with ourselves, with each other, and with that which is larger than us. Spirit of life, God of all love, mystery of the universe and ground of our very being. It is said that you make the sun rise and the rains fall on both the just and unjust. And in that way, yours is an abounding and generous grace. We give thanks for our life's many gifts. But it's also true that none of us are ever really spared, neither the just nor the unjust, for try as we might, we are all still subject to the challenges of pain and anguish, of death and separation, to the unavoidable impermanence of our physical being. And yet, the very fact that no one is spared suggests that none of us is ever truly alone. We all partake in this passing reality, stumbling from triumph to disaster and back again, and dealing with what life throws at us each day the best we can. So may the unavoidable fact of our shared human condition foster empathy, compassion, and mutual support. May the stories of all those who have gone before us, ordinary flesh and blood people just like we are, may these stories remind us of the deep reserves of courage and strength that lie within each and every one of us, vulnerable as we are here and now. And may life's transience compel us to savour every precious moment, while also reminding us, particularly in our most trying and precarious times, that this too shall pass. Let's take a moment now to focus our loving thoughts and prayers on all those who are suffering in our world through oppression and injustice, through ill health, or perhaps sheer bad luck. And let us also pray for those who care, those who act and speak out to improve the lot of those who are in need. Indeed, all of us suffer, and all of us can attend to the suffering of others one way or another. So in a moment or two of stillness, let us call to mind a person or a situation in need of our loving prayers right now. And let us take another moment to focus our thoughts and our prayers on all that we have to be grateful for right now. All the kindness, beauty, and pleasure we have known and we have witnessed in the week just gone. In this next moment of stillness, let us call to mind something we feel moved to give thanks for. Spirit of life, God of all love, as this time of prayer comes to a close, we offer up our joys and our concerns, our hopes and our fears, our beauty and our brokenness, and call on you for insight, healing and renewal. As we look forward now to the coming week, help us to live well each day and to be our best selves, using our gifts in the service of love, justice and peace. Amen.
This reading is called The Right Bean. .com, and it's by Barbara Merritt. When children are small, parents can project an amazing amount of expectation and fantasy onto them about their gifts and potential. As you introduce them to hiking in the mountains, you can imagine them growing up to be environmentalists. With their first art course, you can see hidden, undeveloped talents. You can't help but wonder whether they might follow in the footsteps of your own intellectual curiosity. An ongoing, underlying dynamic in our home is that one parent, Dad, teaches physics and loves science, maths, and technology. Mum, me, is completely liberal arts, history, literature, psychology, philosophy, and world religions. So it was astonishing when Robert, our eldest child, announced that he was going into business for himself. Business? Neither the mother's nor the father's area of expertise or experience. But our senior high school decided that he was going to become an entrepreneur. The founder of an online coffee business. He would be the middleman between a wholesale coffee roaster and the cyberspace gourmet coffee consumer. In addition, this venture would fulfill the requirements of his final year research project at school. My instantaneous response was, "You can't do that. You're only 16, and we can't help you at all. You don't know anything about marketing." And like any normal 16-year-old, he completely ignored my counsel. He went to banks and arranged credit. He hired friends to design a website, paying them a percentage of the profits. He obtained insurance. He bought software to handle credit card purchases. He found a wholesaler and worked out prices and shipping costs. He took photographs of his buddies sipping coffee in our living room for the website. My role, meanwhile, was to roll my eyes and tell him, "This will never work." In the 9 months that the project has taken, there have been countless setbacks. Each time, I was the one who encouraged my son to give up and move on. To his great credit, he didn't listen to me. Recently, we got a call from a salesman asking if Robert Merritt was the marketing supervisor of therightbean.com. We didn't tell him that the founder of the company was at school attending class that day. We didn't mention that Mr. Merritt was also in charge of publicity, purchasing, advertising, technical maintenance, finances, deliveries, and payroll. And then what I thought could never happen happened. The site became fully operational. Coffee orders started coming in, and the founder of the company was smiling a lot. Parents can be slow learners in discovering how little we know, and therightbean.com, I'm not very good on this obviously, has been a good spiritual teaching for at least one skeptical mother. The children of God are meant to follow their own dreams. We are all called into the business of creating unimaginable futures.
Dare to Dream by Harold Kushner. I wonder what happens to dreams that don't come true. I wonder what happens to the dreamer. How do people cope with the realization that important dimensions of their lives will not turn out as they hoped? Many of us look at the world and see two groups of people, winners and losers. Those who get what they want out of life and those who don't. But in reality, life is more complicated than that. Nobody gets everything he or she yearns for. I look at the world and see three sorts of people. Those who dream boldly, even as they realise that a lot of their dreams will not come true. Those who dream more modestly and fear that even their modest dreams may not be realised. And those who are afraid to dream at all, lest they be disappointed. I would wish for more people who dreamed boldly and trusted their powers of resilience to see them through the inevitable disappointments. What does a person do with all the dreams that don't come true? Dreams of emerging talents, dreams of careers, dreams of wealth and recognition, dreams of marriage and family. Some people manage to hold on to the memories of those dreams without being weighed down by them, without letting their unfulfilled dreams define them as failures. They can cherish the memories of a time when they let their imagination soar, when they could imagine a more exciting, more gratifying life for themselves. Others let themselves be defined not by their dreams, but by their disappointments, perpetually frustrated by what they yearned for and never attained. For them, the broken pieces of their dreams are millstones rather than stepping stones. I have known too many people who lost the ability to dream after having had their hearts broken. I have known too many parents who discouraged their children from dreaming, from aspiring too much, lest they be hurt when their dreams failed. And I am convinced that they would have done better to let their children dare to dream, and to assure them that when their dreams failed, they would have the strength and resiliency to go on with their lives, despite their disappointments. From the first time I heard Judy Collins sing The Rose, I have been haunted by the line, "It's the heart that's afraid of breaking that never learns to dance." It spoke to me of all the people whose lives have been derailed by one serious failure. People whose fondest hopes never worked out. And as a result, they had lost the ability to hope, the courage to dream. I hate to think that experience will teach us not to dream, not to yearn for happiness or fulfillment. I want people to dare to dream, to be brave enough to dream, even though they realise that many of their dreams won't come true. To dream is to imagine a world and a life better than the one we know now.
Thank you.
come now to a time for meditation. You might like to have a wiggle, get as comfortable as you can in your chair, perhaps put down anything you don't need to be holding. You might want to close your eyes or focus on the candles in the middle. I'm going to read some very short introductory words from Sarah Eileen Lawall, and after those words we'll have a good few minutes of shared meditation, stillness and silence. As ever, you're free to think your own thoughts and meditate in your own way, and I'll ring the bell in a few minutes to bring the time of meditation to a close. In the silence, in the stillness, we hear the call of our own heart, its tender dreams, its sorrows and its triumphs. In the silence, in the stillness, we hear whispers of days gone by, of dreams still becoming, the promise of the future. We celebrate together our individual journeys and our dreams, and our collective hopes and aspirations, knowing the journey is so much richer with fellow travellers to share in it. Let us take our shared dreaming into this time of companionable and holy silence. Once again, it falls to me to introduce our new ministry theme for the month of August. For the next few Sundays, we're going to focus on the topic of hopes and dreams. When Sarah, Janine and I sat down to plan our service titles, which was quite a while ago, I immediately thought of a well-known quotation, one that's often and wrongly attributed to Goethe. In fact, it's by a Scottish mountaineer called W.H. Murray, and I've included a extended version of the quote on the back of your hymn sheet today. It's just the last few short lines that came to mind, though, in connection with this topic of hopes and dreams, as they're rather stirring and memorable. Murray says, "Whatever you can do or dream you can do, begin it. Boldness has genius, magic, and power in it. Begin it now." In truth, I didn't remember the exact quotation until I went to look it up. In my mind, I had somehow just stored the essence of it. And what was stored there, the distilled essence, was this: dream boldly and then get on with it. Not nearly so poetic, but I feel it's a fairly accurate representation of the sentiment. Murray's larger point is that in wholeheartedly committing ourselves to a particular endeavour, however ambitious or outlandish it might be, by showing our serious intent and putting in the time, effort and sacrifice needed, then we put ourselves in the way of further opportunities and further offers of help, stepping stones towards the dream, which we most likely wouldn't have encountered if we'd only been sitting on the sofa and dreaming idly about it. Whatever you can do or dream you can do, begin it. Boldness has genius, magic and power in it. Begin it now. A rallying cry. But I guess most of us know that in real life it's not as easy as that sounds. On any given day, many of us, perhaps most of us, might feel that we haven't really got the oomph for dreaming boldly. Indeed, many of us are only just hanging on in there, coping with whatever life happens to have thrown at us this week, dedicating much of our energy, resources and brain space to just getting by, just surviving. But I suppose it depends a bit what exactly we mean by dreaming. When I hear that stirring quote from Murray, he was a mountaineer after all, I guess I think of a sort of striving upwardly onward form of dreaming. Dreaming as ambition for personal achievement. The sort of dreaming that gets you up a mountain across the finishing line of a marathon. It might spur you on to write the best-selling novel, to break Hollywood, or to build your business empire, perhaps even selling coffee on the internet. All given the right combination of genes, dedication, sacrifice, support, and pure good luck. But perhaps there's a broader understanding of dreaming that we could focus on just for this morning. The piece by Harold Kushner, which Brian read for us earlier, it ends with the line, "To dream is to imagine a world and a life better than the one we know now. To dream is to imagine a world and a life better than the one we know now." Dreams are often born of frustration with reality, with the way the world in general and our lives in particular are right now. We dream of a future that's better, or at least different, than today. And the more difficult, the more challenging our current existence, the more bold our imagined alternative version might be. Of course, being able to dream boldly, to imagine a utopian vision for the world or a happy ever after scenario for ourselves, it doesn't necessarily mean we're going to get our way. Sadly, it doesn't follow. But it might well be an important first step towards changing things for the better. Having a vision of how things might be other than they are, that might just galvanise us into action. Imagining a better world, a better life, it can inspire us to aim for goals that we once might have thought beyond us. And even if we don't end up achieving all that we'd personally hoped for, even if we fall short of our very boldest dreams, it is quite likely that we'll enrich our life experience in the process of trying. Perhaps we'll even give the world a tiny nudge in a positive direction as we go about it. There are risks, too, to being a dreamer, of course. There's the risk of being put down, discouraged, or even dismissed by naysayers, by those who don't share our vision, for those who are invested in the status quo, and by those who are just trying to protect you. I guess that's what was happening in the story from Barbara Merritt and her son Richard, the founder of therightbean.com, in the first reading this morning. She couldn't see it working. He'd never done anything like it before, neither had she, neither had his dad, neither had anyone they knew. To her mind, his dream was destined to be a flop, and she was trying to save him from suffering. To see his dream through to fruition, he had to ignore his mum and doggedly carry on. And doing that isn't always easy. Discouragement, even when it's kindly meant, can squash dreams, and it isn't always kindly meant. Boldness, a willingness to stand up, stand your ground, be courageous and face down naysayers in the pursuit of your dreams, that sort of boldness seems to really matter. Another risk in dreaming boldly, though, is the possibility of going too far the other way, of becoming detached from reality, of losing ourselves in a fantasy world of what-ifs and delusions about the imagined future, without actually taking any practical steps towards bringing about the changes we dream of. And perhaps the most likely risk involved in being a dreamer is the one that Harold Kushner was all about. That reading came from a book called Overcoming Life's Disappointments. And in that piece he reflects on how we humans respond to the disappointing but unavoidable experience of having cherished dreams that ultimately don't come true. He notes that for some of us, it leads us to close down, self-limiting our own imaginations, narrowing our horizons, no longer daring to dream boldly for fear of being hurt again, But later in the book, Kushner says, and these words are on the front of your order of service, broken dreams, broken hearts, hopes unrealised should not be seen as emblems of shame, badges of failure. If anything, they are tokens of courage. We were brave enough to dream, brave enough to long for so much, and when we did not get it, we were brave enough to carry the fragments of those dashed hopes with us into the future, telling us who we used to be as a prelude to discovering who we might become. These dreams, longings, hopes, and desires may indeed point to our truest self, our deepest purpose, and they may give us hints, despite the setbacks we face along the way, on how to live. Kushner's piece concludes, "I would wish for more people who dreamed boldly and trusted their powers of resilience to see them through the inevitable disappointments." On my smartphone, I have a little app called Wunderlist. I use it to organise my life and keep track, sort of all of the very varied and many to-dos that I am dealing with at any given time, or failing to deal with. It works up to a point. Last night I checked, and as of midnight there were 397 items on that to-do list. The reason I'm mentioning it now is that one of the subcategories on this to-do list has a heading, Dreams and Wishes. As well as keeping lists of all the jobs I've got to do around the house, around the church, for my studies, for summer school and the like, I keep a list of dreams. Some of them are bold, some of them are less so. To qualify for the dreams list, they need to be things that I imagine would make life better, but which seem a little bit implausible, a little bit overambitious, in some way or another, slightly out of reach right now. Some of the more modest ones, the ones that I'm prepared to talk about in public, include learning to play boogie-woogie piano, riding a bike around a cyclopark, finding a ballroom dance partner and performing again as a dancer, writing a hymn. That one doesn't feel too far out of reach. Acknowledging dreams like this and naming them and writing them down seems to bring them one step closer to reality. Even if it's just by preventing me from forgetting them, keeping the dreams safe and ready for the moment when the stars align and I might be able to take action, take that first step. And on the front of your hymn sheet, you may have noticed I've printed some little bubbles, and you should have got a pen when you come in. If not, Billy's got some more up the back. I'm hoping these little bubbles will encourage you just to jot down a word or two to remind yourself of your dreams. I invite you to take some time now or later, or on the bus home. No, not the bus, because the roads are closed, on the tube home. I invite you to take some time to write something in each one of those little bubbles, to acknowledge, just acknowledge a dream you have tucked away somewhere. Think of that definition from Harold Kushner. To dream is to imagine a world and a life better than the one we know now. Imagine your life, or the lives of your family and friends, your community, this one or another community, the world, just a little bit better than it is now in some way, in some concrete way you can name and note down. If dreaming boldly seems a bit of a stretch this morning, you're allowed to dream modestly or even tentatively. If you need to take a bit of run up to dreaming boldly, that's all right. But try to make sure your sense of what's possible, of what you're even allowed to dream, hasn't been unduly constrained by social and political norms or by other people's lack of imagination. And if you're feeling bold enough, you might like to share some of your dreams in conversation over a cup of tea later on. In the meantime, I'd like to close with a blessing by Jean Olsen. It's one we've heard here before, probably many times and not so long ago, but it's just right for today, I think. Just right for those of us who dream boldly and are sometimes disappointed, yet who are brave and resilient and dare to dream again. She says this: "May you be brave enough to share your aching woundedness and reveal your vulnerability. May you speak your deepest truths, knowing that they will change as you do. May you sing the music within you, composing your own melody and playing your song with all your heart. May you draw, paint, dance, sculpt and sew, showing the world your vision. May you write letters, poetry, biography, slogans, graffiti, the great novel, laying bare your words to love and hate. May you love even though your heart breaks again and again. And until the end of your days, may your life be filled with possibilities and courage. May it be so for the greater good of all. Amen. Our time together ends. In the days before we meet again, may our actions match our words, may our thoughts be filled with compassion, and may we truly make a difference in a troubled world. Mindful of our highest dreams, bound by common faith and purpose, and yet beginning with ourselves just as we are, let us take one more step together, united in our quest for justice, truth, and love. Amen.
Just